एकं पुनरलं अभवत् अपूर्णम् अजनि विधुर्बत य इतः पूर्वम्।
गोपाल चाम्पु, चैप्टर 5, किलीन पूतना।
पुत्रोत्सव मनो खेला भाजम् पश्य सखी कुल गो कुल राजम् पुत्रोत्सव मनो।
The next day in the splendid assembly, auspicious Madhukanta, making everyone anxious with the sound of his voice, began to speak. Oh, Snigdhakanta, please listen. In the faultless evening, a messenger in disguise, sent by Vasudeva, who is the form of all devatas, arrived at the lotus feet of Nanda. Recognizing him as the best among Vasudeva's old servants, Nanda asked how he was. Offering respects, the messenger spoke, "How can there be unrestricted peace when cruel Kamsa has Rakshasas eat everyone? This you can infer by seeing my torn, worn clothing. It was not possible to depart and cross using a boat during the day. I have crossed the Yamuna by swimming. With damp clothing I have arrived here in the evening." Nanda laughed loudly and said, "Please tell any other particular event." The messenger said, "No other message is necessary. Now it is likely we will all die. Our life is in such danger that my master is without assistance. All have become subservient to Kamsa." Nanda said, "What has happened to him at present?" The messenger said, "What has happened? Because of that he has sent me, trying to act for his benefit." Nanda said, "What is that?" The messenger said, "In the middle of the night, a daughter was born to Vasudeva from Devaki in the prison house." Nanda said, "Then what happened?" The messenger said, "She tried to hide the child, but the guards heard the child cry. They went to inform evil, angry Kamsa residing in the inner palace, depraved Kamsa from the day after the marriage of Devaki, fearing the message of the devatas, had remained alert with agitation. Just by hearing a syllable of the guard's words, he became completely agitated, and with hair flying everywhere, cruel Kamsa took his sword and went to the prison." Nanda in fear said, "Then what happened?" The messenger said, "Going quickly to the bed in the prison, without mercy, like a headstrong person with no shame, merciless Kamsa took the girl from the lap of the wailing Devaki, angrily threw the child against the stone in front of Devaki. For that evil deed, Kamsa has gained the criticism and disrespect of all people." With tearful eyes, Nanda said, "Ah, how can you let us hear such unpleasant news? Let that be, but do not speak such unwelcome topics in my house. Yashoda, the friend of Devaki, will become completely grief-stricken, and Rohini, Vasudeva's wife in separation, will faint." The messenger said, "O Lord, please hear with steady heart what was most astonishing." Nanda said, "O long-lived messenger, please keep speaking." The messenger said, "Though the child was thrown from the sinful Kamsa's hand, she did not fall on the stone, but rather, putting her feet on his head and rising upwards quickly in the sky, she revealed an extraordinary celestial form." Nanda said, "What was that form?" The messenger said, "She had a dark complexion and 8 arms holding the chakra and other weapons. She rode on a lion in the sky and was praised profusely by the devatas. With raised heads, everyone gazed at her." Nanda said in astonishment, "What did she say?" The messenger said, "O Nanda, it was not otherwise. Please hear more auspicious news." She spoke with pride and pleasure, "O sinful Kamsa, why have you tried to kill me? Your attempt is futile. Your previous enemy has been born already somewhere else. This enemy will come from there and kill you. you should not try to kill any more young children. Nanda said with astonishment and a smile, "Certainly, because of Vasudeva's bhakti, the child became Vajrakali and spoke auspicious words. Today, finally, someone has disrespected him with words." The messenger said, "O respectable king, please hear another astonishing fact." Thinking that his enemies, the Devatas, had announced that the eighth child of his sister would become a danger, Kansa, an enemy disguised as a brother, called Devaki and Vasudeva from the prison, and holding their feet while begging pardon, repented that he had killed their six previous sons. He freed them from their chains. Nanda said, "Then what happened?" The messenger said, "Devaki, because of her gentle nature, did not become angry with the killer of her children." Vasudeva considered as follows. "Previously he dried us up and pulverized us, and now he soaks us in ghee and pulverizes us. Though he is by nature crooked, because of the strength of his good character, he is now gentle." Taking permission from evil Kamsa, Vasudeva returned to his house with his wife, but he did not trust Kamsa, because Kamsa, coming from a different lineage, always afflicted those under his care. He afflicted his mother just as a grindstone scrapes another stone. Nanda said with a smile, "What did the uncivilized brute do from that morning on?" The messenger said, "He did what was natural to him. That evil fellow performed further wicked acts." Nanda said, "Please tell us." The messenger said, "Black spot on this dynasty, Kamsa, called his demon friends and told them what had happened on the night. These associates, like demoniac Rahu, breakers of laws like ghosts, held a clamorous meeting which sounded like tigers roaring. The sound conquering Mahendra Mountain afflicted the attendants of Vishnu, the Devatas, the worshippers of the Devatas, the cows and the Brahmanas. This afflicted Vishnu himself. He cruelly afflicted children 10 days old or less. He accomplished this with the help of his evil friends. By their advice, he gave charity." Nanda, hearing these angry words, spoke with anger and fear, "What peaceful instructions has Vasudeva given me?" The messenger said, "Vasudeva explained, Nanda will soon go to this Rakshasa, who is disguised as Kamsa, and pay taxes. Nanda will meet me then. I am very eager to know about his son. We will meet by auspicious events. Balaram, who is not different from him, should also be maintained." After hearing this and having worries, Nanda fed the messenger in meeting with his elder and younger brothers, reviewed in private what the messenger had said. Upananda said, "What Vasudeva has said is correct. By paying the tax, we can keep the serpent's mouth closed." Taking his brother's words to heart, Nanda informed the messenger who approached in the morning, "Dear messenger, go to him and inform him of the auspicious news of his son and other news which may give joy to his heart. On the instructions of my brothers, I will gather the taxes and distribute gifts everywhere. Tell him we will come in 5 days." When the messenger left, Nanda arranged for Yashoda's bath and daily celebrated huge festivals. Bringing respectable people along with priests to see her, Nanda looked at the new child. Just by the nectar of seeing Krishna on that most auspicious day, a sacrifice was performed. Just by the fragrance of hearing about him, they became capable of manifesting perspiration, hair standing on end, and tears, as if they had attained the tender child after many births and were carrying the dearmost object. He invited the chief people to see the child, and they all came. As well, many who were uninvited came to see the child. Will not the lotus pond spread with lotuses automatically attract the bees? Though the cowards repeatedly saw the child in the lap of Upananda's aged wife in front of Yashoda, in a huge house having many doors and spread with cloth made of deer's hair, they could not be fully satisfied, since they had to move aside to allow others who were behind to come forward. A sacrificial priest spoke to Upananda's wife, telling her that it was not necessary to rise on seeing him or other elders. As he said this, he began to tremble in bliss. With tears in his eyes, he sprinkled white rice and offered swasti prayers. Children gathered in front of Krishna and asked questions as children will. Seeing the child, they said to other children with joyful hearts, "His beauty is clearly visible, but they cannot be understood by any amount of words." Out of bliss, others could not answer because of choked throats or because they had not heard those words. People gave so much cloth and ornaments that the child would have enough to wear monthly until his Kaishora age. Nanda gave gifts equal to an infinite storehouse. Those who saw the child took away his beauty to their houses. That beauty was both natural and produced. The natural beauty was his eyes and other features. The produced beauty was that created by his clothing and ornaments. When people saw that pleasing child and went home, they continually kept seeing him in their minds for several days. After making arrangements for his elder brothers to protect the child when he went to Mathura, Nanda began to think as he traveled to Mathura. "Though my mind usually gives equal regard to friend and enemy, I have become very attracted to this boy, such that I do not desire a long life. I am going to an evil person and do not know what will happen. Looking at this child repeatedly to drive away my agitation, let me go to Mathura." Before going to Mathura, Nanda looked at the face of his child on his lap repeatedly and experienced bliss. He kissed the child's forehead and cheeks and embraced his body, but he could not be fully satisfied, yet this sustained him on his way to Mathura. The nurse said, "O dark child, your father is asking permission to go and see the king. Please give him permission." With his astonishing childlike nature, Krishna smiled. Seeing this, Nanda departed with a steady heart. While remembering the sweet smile of his son and trying to hide his love, he talked to the cowherds joyfully. He seemed like a yogi immersed in the bliss of Brahman. Arriving at Mathura, Nanda offered the taxes to the officials and left his carts to please Kangsa, who accepted them through his officials from a distance. Nanda did not go to Vasudeva's house, so that Kamsa could not understand his attachment to Vasudeva. Snigdhakantha said, "Kamsa was inimical to the good and had criminal hatred towards newborn children. He was greedy for others' wealth. How could he act nicely toward Nanda, who was endowed with Vedic culture, who had just astonished the universe with the birth ceremony of his son, and who was famous for having unlimited wealth?" Madhukanta said, "It was previously said, who could not be bound by the good qualities of the moon-like king of Braj, rightly famous for those qualities?" Snigdhakanta said, "Then what happened?" Madhukanta said, "Then Nanda made a plan to meet Vasudeva in a secret place, and Vasudeva then came to meet Nanda along with a special servant. When Vasudeva arrived, Nanda, spreading effulgence everywhere, rose up in respect and went towards Vasudeva. With attachment, he embraced Vasudeva, and Vasudeva embraced him. But they did not bow to each other, since Vasudeva was elder, being of Kshatriya birth, and Nanda was elder in years. Not only that, but they had great affection for each other, and thus did not bother with formalities. This is made clear by Shukadeva. When Nanda Maharaj heard that Vasudeva had come, he was overwhelmed with love and affection, being as pleased as if his body had regained its life. Seeing Vasudeva suddenly present, he got up and embraced him with both arms." Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 5th Chapter, text 21. In this example, to show Nanda's attachment to him, Nanda is represented as the body and Vasudeva as the life air. The life air can move in some other body, but the body cannot exist without the life air. But Vasudeva, coming to Nanda's encampment out of love, was worshipped like a guest by Nanda, and satisfied by his behavior, spoke with attachment about the two new children. My dear brother Nanda Maharaj, at an advanced age, you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 5th Chapter, Text 23. Like the milk ocean, with full affection which did not increase or decrease, and with a deep voice, Nanda lamented the destruction of Vasudeva's family by Kamsa. Fortifying his will with the acceptance of karma, he produced happiness in himself and Vasudeva by his sweet and truthful words. Understanding that Nanda had completed his duties, Vasudeva allowed him to return home since he understood that troubles would be occurring in the future. In fact, Nanda had already left for home in his heart, but now he brought his body back to Braj. Let the story of Braj unfold. As they had previously discussed and decided, the demons called for the daughter of Bali Pultana. As the hawk kills young ducks, she came to Braj in the night to kill all children. She appeared like a mendicant with matted locks and disarray. She has sharp teeth for gathering and biting the babies and huge lips. Her eye sockets were like paths, with eyelashes like snake hoods and eyes like snakes. By all this, she made the universe unsteady in mind. On her chest were two breasts flowing with poison, whose fire was impossible to endure. Thus she caused fear in all beings. What more can be said? Fearful to all just by her sight, she could devour children like a pile of rice. Knowing the possible danger from archers' knowledge of the Narayana arrow and Nanda's protection, Putana assumed an attractive form, giving up her other extraordinary form. The people thought that the incarnation of the goddess of wealth had come to earth looking for shelter. Thinking she would take shelter of Nanda's child, full of all qualities and wealth, they did not recognize her intentions in that new form. Seeing her form, the bewildered guards could not prevent her from entering. The nurses protecting the child also could not understand her intentions. However, the two-sided demon, favorable to Kamsa, could not go to places where topics of Krishna were being recited or heard. She was a demon who could kill children of people who were not inclined to Narayana. In order to create the pastime of Putana coming to Braj, Yoga Maya spread her illusion. By the influence of Maya, Putana did not divert her gaze, but overcoming all people, stared only at the child in Nanda's house. Like an ember covered by ashes, no one could see the powers within Krishna, since Yogamaya made him appear like an ordinary child, though he could at once manifest powers like a blazing fire. Yogamaya, thinking of auspiciousness for Nanda, revealed Krishna's intelligence from birth, but absorbed in his pastimes in which relatives showed affection, he did not show that intelligence, disregarding Yogamaya. But when the opportunity arose, Yogamaya was able to determine her service and reveal it in relation to Krishna. Thus recognizing the demon, Krishna closed his naturally beautiful eyes. As a snake puts a mongoose in its lap, thinking it as a mouse, Putana fearlessly put Krishna on her lap, thinking of easily killing him. Snigdhakanta said, "O elder brother, why did the two mothers not prevent this unknown woman and not consider her identity?" Madhukanta said, It was previously said that Yogamaya was the cause, and Putana used a tricky means to execute her task. When Putana entered the village, she took a form like a pot ornamented with gold bells, hiding her nature as a snake. Her breasts were covered with tears and flowed with milk. In this way, she bewildered the two women. With choked voice, she said, "Oh, Yashoda, you become very hard because of many duties. Therefore, Rohini, with steady affection for your son, has been of great benefit. Keeping the tender child on the bed, you must carry out many duties, and you do not pay full attention to the child. One keeps the life air in the heart. What to speak of keeping this child dearer than a life air in the heart? Your hearts are hard like those of demons. As Lakshmi, by my extraordinary powers, I have heard about this son and come immediately. Just as the jasmine becomes joyful in spring, in the same way my eyes become joyful and seeing this child. My breasts, spreading auspiciousness everywhere, are flowing with nectar. If the child drinks this nectar, he will attain a perfect body. I will become his nurse and give him happiness." Snigdhakanta said, "What happened when she took the child?" Madhukanta said, "Taking the child by trickery, poisonous Putana put his lotus mouth on the tip of her breast." With fear, Snigdhakanta said, "Then what happened?" Madhukanta spoke with a laugh. "On seeing this evil she-demon in place of his mother, Krishna purified her of her milk and the faults in her body by the power of his anger, which kills. Because of the slight resemblance of a motherly attitude in her, he adopted a sweet attitude, as if spreading perfume over her body, and then sucked her milk with anger. Just as the Ganga purifies the water from the Karmanasa river, the milk from Putana's breast became purified by Krishna drinking it." Yelling, "Let me go!" in great pain, she freed herself from her life airs. She was able to pull Krishna from her chest, since she had been purified. Leaving Braj like a flying bird, she gave up her body. Seeing this, everyone thought, "Some terrible sound has arrived in Braj." Going to the place, they saw that Putana had assumed her natural form. Taking the child who was holding onto her chest, she flew in the air. The life airs of the two mothers also quickly flew away from the lotus of their bursting hearts. If the two mothers had not fainted when the child was taken by Putana, how would they have been able to endure the situation? They could not, and they would have died. The devatas thought that her cries were a thunderbolt, and that the wind from her flying was the final devastation, that her falling to earth was an earthquake, and that her dead corpse was a mountain range. Coming close, they understood the strange creature and remained near Putana for some time. They understood it was Putana. The child was stuck to her chest, holding the tip of her breast. In their hearts, they recognized Krishna's power and they laughed heartily. The devatas said, "The huge she-demon who took a small form to take the child has been destroyed. It is not surprising. The poison of Putana's body must necessarily be destroyed by this child, who is a moon with a body of nectar. When poison contacts another object, it also becomes poison. If nectar contacts poison, it becomes poison. How amazing! When Krishna with nectar limbs contacts poison, he remains nectar, and Putana remains poison. Neither has been transformed. Putana, like deceitful night, took on a huge form to oppose the boy possessing fresh rasas, giving sorrow to the day lotuses and tree lotuses, giving bliss to the night creatures who oppose the sun. She met her destruction. Krishna indicated this by the cleverness of his actions. The breast is the life for the child. When you offer your breast to my mouth and I drink from your breast, if you die, what is my fault? Please tell me." Snigdhakanta said, "Ah, how did Yashoda and others maintain their self-control? How did their associates resolve the issue? Madhukanta said, "Making a deafening clamor, the elders and middle-aged women ran here and there, leaving Yashoda and Rohini. Some by good fortune saw Putana, huge like a mountain, fall from the sky. Without fear, they approached and, climbing on her arms, which had fallen to the ground by chance, took Krishna, who was playing fearlessly on her chest. Out of excitement, they quickly ran to the house without looking back. The women came to the great inner chambers with many following behind. They had seen the event, and with joy and unsteadiness came there, leaping and jumping. They saw Yashoda and Rohini unconscious and became completely bewildered about what to do. After a few moments, when all methods failed to revive them, one old intelligent woman placed the child in their laps. When this happened, their life airs returned by the nectar of the child's presence. Seeing the child, they again fainted in bliss. They then returned to consciousness but wept as if moistening the dry summer earth. When they saw the child, tears fell from their eyes like iron needles, giving them the same pain they had experienced before. The tender child was brought so that he could drink their milk. Thus, the two women gradually became steady. They embraced the child, looked at him, kissed him, and smelled his head. They placed him on the ground and performed arti. Putana truly existed, and this child, your son, he still exists. They clearly established this. The two mothers, without fear, began to see Krishna as the subduer of Putana. Then Yashoda said in astonishment, "Go and see Balaram." Saying this, understanding that she wanted to run to him, Rohini prevented her, and with many women went to another room and, seeing the child with auspicious marks, performed rites to protect him. She then brought the child to Yashoda, who desired to see him and satisfied her. The mothers then bathed Krishna in cow urine and protected him with mantras, hearing which the learned sages became surprised. Seeing this great danger, Yashoda spoke to the older women in a choked voice. "We had no great desire for children, but by your desire the child has appeared. You have given this child to us and we offer him to you." She touched the child to their feet and shed tears. The old women, losing control, quickly took the child and said, "O Yashoda, may whatever pious acts we have accrued from our paternal and maternal lines give auspiciousness and happiness to this child." With tears, they worshipped the child by arti. All remained blissful to give comfort to Yashoda. The two mothers and others then began describing the horrible acts of Putana from what they had seen. The two described how Putana came, what she said, and what she did. While doing so, their voices wavered, and the syllables and words became unclear. Other women then described in a choked voice how they came on the scene and what they saw. Turning to Braj, Nanda and others saw from afar the corpse of Putana. In loud voices, they discussed amongst themselves as follows. "We cannot see the form clearly because of the many crows flying about. It has turned to ashes by the rays of the hot sun. It is funny because of many joints sticking out. It is decorating part of this huge, thick forest. It appears like a cloud stuck to the earth from far off. We should think of Vasudev's warning about future disturbances in Braj. Perhaps it is a mountain whose wings Indra cut off, which regained its wings and then fell here." Speculating in many ways on seeing directly the body of the she-demon, they showed fear, humor, and curiosity. After a few moments, some came close and described it. Doubts were resolved and reality dawned on them. That dreadful form, which had appeared nearby, spread fear in all hearts. They understood that the body of Putana had fallen in Braj. Hearing that Putana had taken his child and that the child killed her, Nanda fainted, but but immediately came back to consciousness. He was like a person who, bitten by a snake, quickly applies special mantras to save himself. With amazement, he heard, saw, and experienced everything. First, he heard Putana's body fell down and spread out for 6 kroshas. The body was 2 kroshas wide and 1 krosha high. She fell outside of Braj. Her length could be covered in 2 praharas, walking in one direction, and her width could be covered by walking 1 prahara in the other direction. No living beings except the trees were harmed. He then saw the body. On the orders of Upananda and others, persons of lower birth quickly cut up the body, which was spread out with bones as hard as thunderbolts, using hard axes. They piled the pieces up in one place and carefully burned it. One cannot describe the strength of the people, such as the leather dealers and blacksmiths living outside the abode of Braj. What to speak of the strength of those within Braj? He experienced the following. One does not attain the sweetness of Krishna even after many millions of yugas. But Putana, though wanting to kill him on touching Krishna's body, became most fragrant. The fragrant smoke from her body was like a messenger. When others entered the village on other days, they were attracted by the smoke. Nanda quickly went to the village to see Krishna. When he approached, his body was soaked in tears. He remained standing for some time, his arms held by his friends. Most sober Nanda regained control and, surrounded by a few friends, went to the raised platform in the large courtyard and sat on the throne. Then his wife came, with many close friends, took the child held by Upananda's wife in her own arms and placed him in the lap of Nanda. Thinking that the child had perhaps been tormented in the night by some ghosts, he looked at the child, who was like the full moon. Tasting the beauty of his form, drinking the pleasing nectar of his face, Nanda experienced an indescribable touch of happiness without compare. He experienced the fragrance of the head of his dark, tender son and astonished the whole universe with his bliss. Seeing his son's happy face, he said, "If Narayana has given this son by his mercy, he will accomplish everything and pardon my bad conduct." While he was absorbed in saying, "He will accomplish everything," truthful Purnamasi with matted hair entered from behind. Immediately everyone rose and offered respects with their minds. They worshipped her by offering a seat. After understanding through questions and answers about Putana, the king gave necessary orders. As previously, he gave unprecedented charity for good karma, making her the chief object. Finishing the story of Putana, Madhukanta, taking permission of Narada, made the following observation. O Nanda, you have given birth to a son who has liberated the she-demon Putana who kills children. He considered as follows in his heart. Previously, she desired to drink children's blood. Now she has become the nurse of Krishna. Is this a low destination or a high destination? I am utterly confused in my heart. Whatever the case may be, the day's topic was finished, and all suitably returned to their houses.